Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 25 of Season 5 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week is Jeanette Ward of The Mundane Adventures of a Fangirl. Welcome back, Jeanette.
Hello, well, thanks for having me. Thanks for allowing me to have the best 5 minutes of this movie.
Every 5 minutes of this movie is the best. So, you know, They're all fun. Don't worry about that. So, minute 25 begins with Esperanza pleading with his guard and ends with Baker dozing in the doorway. So, basically, yesterday we ended things with, you know, we were on FM1, Foreign Military One, which we don't really know that number yet, but, you know, I'm just going to still mention it. And Esperanza is there, and you know he starts complaining that his chains hurt, mm-hmm. and he looks up at his guard there, who's we see it's a young soldier who we see he's married because he has a wedding ring. We see he's got a nice watch also, but he's just sitting there looking at him, you know, no gun, nothing. At least we don't see any gun. And then, Esperanza continues talking to him in Spanish and goes, "Could you take these off, kid? Where do you think I could go?" Which is a good point, but, you know, as we know from Con Air, you know, you don't let the cons out.
And this kid clearly has seen enough movies to know that, he's not going to fall for that.
That's right. Sorry, General.
But not enough movies where he shouldn't get up and also light a cigar for the guy.
Or get close enough. There you go. Sorry, yes. General. I'm not permitted to do that.
It's interesting because that, again, a sequence exposition masquerading as dialogue where the kid clearly refers to him as general, defers to him, has some level of respect and admiration for this man, but also knows that he is not to be trusted on some level.
That's correct. And then he goes, "Good kid, good." And I love his next line. He says to him, "You're an excellent soldier."
Yeah.
What is that, a Rain Man comment? "You're an excellent driver, you're an excellent soldier." I mean, I don't know. Of course he's buttering him up.
But
completely. Obviously, I know what he's doing here. But, you know, "You're an excellent soldier because you won't let me walk around the cabin." You know, the fasten seatbelt signs hasn't been taken off yet.
Good soldiers follow orders.
That is true. And the guy shakes his head. And then Esperanza says to him, "Instead of freedom, give me a light." "No, Bud Light." That reminds me of those commercials, you know.
Yes. Why did he have a cigar in his pocket? That seems unusual.
He's a dictator. Well, don't all dictators have cigars in their pockets?
All right. Yes. Good point. I stand corrected.
Yeah, could be. He probably has a few.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, the soldier stupidly gets up, walks over.
Gets very close to him.
Lights up the cigar.
Literally in my notes, the next thing I have written down is, "Come on, man, have you never seen a movie?"
Apparently. Apparently he hasn't, because, this isn't what you do.
I don't know what the theaters are like in Valverde. Maybe there are just not a ton of movie theaters there.
That could be too. I think you're right there. So the actor who plays, well, he's listed as a corporal.
The excellent soldier.
Young corporal. Okay. His name is, well, first of all, you can see the name on his shirt says Munoz. Munoz? M-U-N-O-Z. Okay. But the actor's name is Julian Reyes, who looks very different today than he did back then.
Well, we all do.
That's true. But he was born in 1961 in the Bronx. Okay. He doesn't seem like the type of guy who he looked like he's a... Wow, he was in Point Break. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He played Alvarez. Wow. Okay, interesting. And he has 30 movie credits, which ended in 2006. That was his final IMDb credit from 2006.
Okay.
I don't know what's happened to him since then. They don't really have the only thing of this says that he has 3 brothers and 1 sister. You know, that's what we get from IMDb. And that he's 6'1".
Okay, he does. He looks very tall sitting there. He looks tall.
Yeah, and his real name is Nelson Reyes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, born in New York City. Mm-hmm. And so he gets close enough and pulls out a Zippo and lights up that cigar. And Esperanza seems to be quite happy with that cigar. Yeah.
Yes.
He's glad that he's finally able to get a puff. Just you see a big smile on his face. And as we know, that big smile is not because he's able to puff on that cigar. It's because
No.
he has started to get this young guy's trust.
Started to put his plan into action.
That's right. That's right. And he blows out smoke. And this, I love this transition shot right afterwards. They
Yep.
show his watch. He looks down at his watch, and you
Yep.
see that it is a, it's a Tag Heuer watch, just like all the rest of the people, the bad guys in this movie. They all have these type of watches, which go back really, really far. It's a Swiss watch that the factory started making them in 1860.
Wow.
Yes. Obviously, not this particular version. The one we see on here is it's probably much more modern.
Yes.
But yeah, they've been doing
But I
them
like it.
for I got like 7 pages of history of these watches, but I don't
That's
think
too
I'm
much.
no, I'm not gonna go into them. Don't worry about that. The do you know what the company slogan was in 1991? It
No, please
was
tell me.
"Don't crack under pressure."
Wow. Was that a problem at the time? A lot of watches just cracking?
No, I think it has to do with the fact that they're waterproof
Oh,
and that you can
interesting.
take them
Okay.
down very, very deep.
Nice.
That would be my guess as to
I
why they
like it.
call
I like it.
it. And we get to see on the watch what time it is. Did you notice what time it is?
I didn't know, but I know they have 3.5 hours from this moment.
That's right. It's 6:15,
Okay.
which means that the plane
Till
is
9:45.
supposed to show up at 9:45 approximately.
Okay.
Yeah. And as we're watching the watch, he covers the watch, and then we see that the watch is actually on Stewart's hand. So, the idea of the two of them having the same type of watch already gives us.
And that they are synchronized.
That is correct. They're more than just synchronized. But what this also tells us is how long it's been since, Cochrane and Miller were sent on their mission. They were sent at 3:51. So it's already been 2.5 hours since that happened. And then John saw them. So John probably killed Cochrane, let's say 4:05, 4:10, maybe 4:15.
Then he
There's
clearly was
been,
not in full rigor mortis.
that's right. It's only been 2 hours. It hasn't even been 4 hours. There you go. That's true, but that's why we do this minute by minute, to try and figure
That's
these things
right,
out.
that's right.
These are big, questions that one asks,
Yes.
and you want to know. Inquiry minds want to know.
Yes,
How
yes.
long have things been going on? And then the camera pans behind him, and we actually get to see the room that Stewart's in. They're
And the
setting up
changes they're
all of
making.
this equipment. I mean, it must be pretty easy to buy all this. All this,
High level military grade gadgets and setups and
but this is all
satellites and
for,
tracking
but this
and
is all for to land planes and to take
yeah.
over the entire air traffic control.
Yeah.
You think this wouldn't be something you can easily get on the black market or whatever?
Well, I tell you, I like this shot because it again adds its story and a visual. I like
Correct.
it.
I mean, I've always been thrown off by the fact that I always think that there are more bad guys than there really are.
Yeah, there's only a
There's
handful.
only like a dozen of them, or 10. There's either 10 or 12, but they always
Yep.
make it seem as if there's a lot more. I mean, there's a scene much
Well,
later on
they're
towards.
very highly skilled.
That's true.
They're well trained.
That's true. Because they all know what to do.
Yes.
But towards the end of the movie, we'll actually see that there's even more people walking around, and it makes you think even more that. There's a lot more people involved, but there really isn't. But we'll get there in a few months from now. But
I
we
made a note of the score. The score again is very, and I literally wrote down it's very Die Hardy.
Yes.
It sounds, you feel like a Die Hard movie because the score kicks in as you're seeing the crew set up their villainous stuff.
That's right.
Establishes the location. So again, if you had that map from overhead of where the airport and then this church, this helps to establish where they are and what's happening.
That's right. Even though it takes John and Barnes a few more months to find it, figure it out. But yeah,
Yeah.
we were able to figure it out. No, but it's funny because we see the same characters. You know, we keep seeing Miller doing other things. Like, he doesn't have any big part in the rest of this movie, but we keep seeing him in small parts. You know, he had his big mission was to go with Cochrane and be there when Cochrane dies. You know, that's it. And almost get his head blown off because of it, which we talked about last week. I don't know what he did wrong. You know, how did he fail? He accomplished his mission. So how did he fail? But whatever. That's Colonel Stewart for you. You know, that vicious colonel.
Very, I was struck by how young William Sadler looks in this shot.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. And then I love the way how they pan through the rest of the church. You know, it goes up. We see all the wires. We see Garber, you know, opening up something also. We see satellite next to them. I mean, they really had to pack a lot of crap in there, you know, to take over this to take over the control tower with the way that they do
Absolutely.
this. You know. And
All the gear.
yeah, we see them just, you know, taking care of everything. And you know, we can, if you count, there are five men inside the church who are doing things. There's one up in the clock tower. Well, sorry, five. Garber's still included in the five, you know, and then it pans up and we see on the outside, we see someone setting up, it could be Garber again, but we see someone setting up a satellite in the bell tower, you know, which is not the clock tower. Don't confuse that with the Back to the Future's. This is not Hill Valley. Save the clock tower. And then it pans down and we see the entrance to the church again, and we see Baker just sitting there and he looks like he's actually sleeping.
Yes, probably. His job is done. He made sure the cords are running in, everything's plugged in. Now he's
Yes,
taking a
but
nap.
if Stewart were to catch him, he's in for a lot of trouble. I
Yes, he
have a
is.
feeling that he wouldn't be as forgiving of Baker sleeping on the job than Miller not accomplishing his mission. Or, sorry, accomplishing his mission but not bringing Cochrane back with him. I think that's what it comes down to. You know, but I mean, this minute doesn't give us that much new things, but it pounds in, you know, first of all, the professionalism of Stewart and his group. We can definitely see that. We also got at the beginning, you know, we see the beginnings of Esperanza trying to outwit his captor. Okay, we'll find out later in the movie, you know, how that plays out for him, because it does pan out, you know, over the course of 3.5 hours, I guess. Even though we won't see it for 3.5 hours, we get the abridged version. This is the Cliff Notes version of FM1's flight. Yeah, that works too. So I like the way that it establishes stuff. You know, it's funny when you do stuff minute by minute. You say sometimes that there are shorter minutes, but there aren't. It's just a question of there are less things to talk about in that minute. Then it's still 60 seconds. It doesn't. You know, it doesn't, that doesn't change. No, they do a nice job of establishing, as you like to say, you know, this is an exposition minute, you know, which it
It
gives us a
is.
lot of things.
But visually, I like visual exposition. I like when exposition is not traditional exposition dumps, when it's worked into a dialogue, an argument, a visual sequence. I like creative exposition.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. They're very creative here. You know. Right, so I mean, I would start talking about all the different computers that they open up there, but I don't know anything about computers that you use in the control tower. So, well, I'm not even gonna try. Maybe in a few weeks, I'll have, you know, have an aviator on who maybe will be able to tell us a little bit about you know, some of the instrumentation and stuff like that. But I'm not even gonna try. So we'll have to see how that is. So, do you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
No, that's everything in my. Nope, mention the score. Come on, man. Have you never seen a movie? Nope, that's everything from my notes.
Okay. So, as we started saying yesterday from the script, it says, "By now we are on Esperanza, looking astonishingly carefree. He smiles at the young corporal guarding him, puffs on a cigar, and casually examines the military chronometer on his handcuffed wrist. We push in on it." So you see, they just skip over the whole conversation here in the script. In the script, it's
That's
just showing
interesting,
him
yeah.
already, you know, puffing on his cigar. And then it says we push in on it, and then it widens, and we see that it's that Stewart's watch. showing the exact same time. Now we see that the church is full of electronic equipment. In fact, it looks very much like a mini version of an airport control tower, complete with radar screens and a big glass board to mark positions on. Camera follows a man with a pizza-sized radar dish as he crosses the room, a crony unrolling wire behind him. Crane up as the man climbs into the steeple, up, 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 until he's in the belfry, where a pre-rigged tripod waits for the dish. As he clamps it into place, we see the yard behind the church and the sparkle of welding tools. Someone is making connections to a now-open conduit box and underground cables. So,
you know, that makes sense why they would be using a church, so they can have the height to get the satellite up there.
Well, I think they did just because it was the closest to the conduit, but...
Sure, but that too.
Yeah, but it could be either. That's also a possibility. That's definitely a possibility. So every Friday, I have a segment this season, which is called Where Are They Up To This Weekend? And up until now, in all form, I guess, were Movies by Minute hosts. So I knew what movies to choose to talk about with them. And so I asked Jeanette, and any of my future guests have the same thing if they're not an MXMer. I will ask them for their top three movies, and I will pick some of those movies. And the idea is, okay, we have now finished minute 25 of this movie. So now, based on your knowledge and based on your memory.
Oh, boy.
The question is.
This is already trouble.
The question is. Okay, so Jeanette told me three of her favorite movies, and I'm only going to talk about two of them. One of them is Captain America: Winter Soldier. So the question is, what is happening in the transition between week 5 and 6 if you were to do it minute by minute of Captain America: The Winter Soldier? Like, what happens at the 25-minute mark? Any guess?
That's a really good question. Can I guess? Let me think. We're probably maybe in the sequence where Steve has finished his initial run out on the Lumerian Star and has come back to base and has maybe just met Robert Redford for the first time and is now headed back to his apartment and flirting with what's-her-name across the hall and talking about laundry. How about that? Yes or no?
No, that's a lot before this. When they're...
Yeah, it feels like the opening sequence takes a lot longer than it does in that movie. So maybe I'm like, Nick Fury has already been at... Oh, maybe we're in the Nick Fury action chase sequence on the street.
No, that's next week. So you're very close. So what happens this week is the conversation between Nick Fury
and
Robert Redford. Where Robert Redford basically reminds him, you know, that what Nick Fury needs to do. And then he says, don't forget that I want Iron Man to show up at my niece's birthday party.
That's right.
And then the following scene after that is where Captain America.
The beginning of one of the best.
No, not yet. Not yet. First, he goes.
Oh,
he goes and Rogers meets up with.
Agent 13.
No.
Boy.
He shows up. He shows up at the rehab center. Or sorry, not the rehab center.
Oh yes, and he goes to meet Sam and Sam's help group, and how Sam is trying to help soldiers who've returned
with PTSD
in order to reacclimate to everyday life.
That's right, and he calls him the Running Man. You know,
yeah. Look, it is the Running Man.
That's right, and right after the scene is, you know, Nick Fury on the street, which is definitely the best scene in this entire movie. It's a great movie.
Yeah,
Streets of Fury. Cool. That's a great title. We actually should call it that. Never even thought about that one. All right. And the second movie that Jeanette told me is one of her favorite movies is The Empire Strikes Back. So what do you think is happening in The Empire Strikes Back between or around the 25-minute mark?
Well, and it's tough, right? Because...
And I do have two versions here. I have the special edition and the regular edition. So, you know, it gives you a little bit of leeway.
Yeah, thinking about the special edition, I know there's a little bit of stuff in the Wampa Cave, so that could push where we are. So I'm going to guess we're mid-invasion, that the walkers have landed, that the rebels are out there, have noticed the walkers approaching, but we're still fairly early. We have not yet reached the point where the Imperials have entered the rebel base.
Correct.
Yay.
In the special edition, it's when they get the first transport out.
Okay.
You know, the first they haven't, you know, they're looking around and they haven't seen the walkers yet. You
okay.
know, and
okay.
they, you know, you have General Raikin, they shoot ion cannon.
Yes.
In order to,
the
you know,
ion hit. Cannon will fire several shots to
That's
clear
right.
your path.
That's right. We're the, you know, we have the Imperial officer saying our first catch of the day. Okay.
Yes.
That's what happens. That's right. That's what happens
is that
in the
before
special.
Before or after, what's his name? He calls Vader to tell him, like, this is what happened to you. Sam Rawson is as clumsy as he is stupid. Love right. that line.
And in the original version, what I have here, it's pretty close.
Okay.
You know, it,
yeah, what they added was not much.
Yeah. So the original version, basically, you know, we have them, once again, getting ready to shoot the Iron Cannon. So it's again, it's a difference of just a few seconds. Obviously, you know, it's a big difference with the special effects. Special effects are very different between these two mm-hmm. versions. But we see all the rebels raising up their hands, saying "Yay!"
The first transport is away. Yay!
That's right. That's right. only 26 more to go. You know. And then Luke meets Dak, and
yes.
the two of them start talking. I'm ready to take on the whole empire myself. Yeah.
Yeah, strong enough to pull the ears off of Gundark. Oh, no, that's what...
No, that...
Yeah, that's
no,
earlier in the scene. Yeah, Dak just feels like he's strong enough to take on the whole empire by himself.
That's right.
Probably not a good idea, Dak.
No, probably not. Because I don't think it's going to work for you. Spoiler alert for anyone who doesn't
don't
know what happens.
Don't get too attached to Dak.
That's right. Dak? Who's Dak? Oh, that guy.
Right, nice. That's fun. I like that. I was pretty close on both of those.
Yes, yes, you were very close, very close. And just for anyone who's interested, Jeanette's third movie that she chose that I decided not to look up was Labyrinth. So I have no idea what Labyrinth is happening at this point. I didn't check. So you can say whatever
I'm
you want.
Guess
and
you're probably just starting the adventure. Maybe she's approaching the gates to the Labyrinth and has just encountered Hoggle. We're going to guess that. And since you didn't look it up, we're going to assume I'm correct.
That's right. Of course, Jeanette's always correct. Do you have anything else you want to say about this movie?
No, I covered everything in my notes. I really like this movie. I think it's a strong sequel to it, which is tough because the original Die Hard is, like I said, near flawless. But this one is good. I really like it. It's super fun. It's got enough layers to the bad guys, you know, building as it goes through, and John McClane does again feel overwhelmed, but yeah, keeps you entertained. Maybe runs a little long, but I like it. I like it.
All right, cool. So you want to once again for the final time this week and the final time this season, since as far as I know, you're not coming back in this season, but maybe you will. There are always surprises every so often. But would you like to tell people where they can find Jeanette Ward?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me out there on your social medias. I'm on the Facebooks and Instagrams and Twitters. Instagram at j.y.ward. And then you can find my Facebook and my Twitter from that. You can find my movie reviews at jwardadventures.blogspot.com. And then if you want to check out my belly dance troupe and see where we're at and what we're up to, you can check out our website as tamarindbellydance.com.
All right, great. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. You can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter. So, Jeanette, thank you very much for joining me this week. I had a really fun time. I hope you did, too. Hope
yes,
you
thanks for
yourself.
Having me. Always a blast. Yes.
But not now. Later.
Yippee-ki-yay!
Yeah. And so I will be back on Monday with new guests. But until then, everyone have a great weekend. And until Monday, yippee-ki-yay!
Yeah, yippee-ki-yay quietly.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little